You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. This is another fine mess they've gotten us into, isn't it?
Thanks, Ollie.
You're welcome, Abbott.
Wait,
his name wasn't Abbott. What's his name?
Abbott
Oliver?
And Costello.
Ollie? Oh, whatever. Ollie. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ollie was the skinny guy.
Okay. Anyway, what a fine mess we are all in at this point in time. So we've had the election. We still don't know who the president is. And this was all so predictable and so frustrating when the Democrats started wanting to have mail-in voting. You and I said, oh no, this is going to be a kettle of fish for everybody. And that's exactly what we've got right now, is a kettle of fish. And it's probably starting to stink to high heaven, because we really and truthfully don't know who the president is. If you're on one side, you think your guy's the president. If you're on the other side, you think your guy's the president. I don't believe the election. And the problem is, it doesn't, not that it doesn't matter who the president is, of course it matters a great deal. But no matter who ends up the president, Americans will never trust the system again.
No, I think that's a really salient point that you're making, because that's exactly how I feel. Look, if we legitimately lost, and that's just the way it is, and that's what a democracy is all about, and we can all cry in our beer, and we can seriously be worried of, you know, four more years of, you know, Barack Obama style leadership, only no leadership from Sleepy Joe. And then, you know, this guy is going to be looking over his shoulder for the next couple of years, you know, and he better have a bunch of food tasters, because Kamala Harris is breathing down his neck, and she can't even believe the position she found herself in as a potential vice president of the United States. I swear to God, and I'm trying to be very circumspect here, but I don't think Joe Biden would last a year as president of the United States.
Well, before that, before we get to that point, I don't believe that Joe Biden won the election. And that is what concerns me, because I saw with my own eyes that the votes change on the TV. I was up all night long. I was watching the different channels. I saw the votes change and go, say, 650 more for Biden, 650 less for Trump. You know, when the count had been more for Trump. I saw them change, and they did it in a flash, but now you can go to YouTube and see it slowed down. I don't believe the software. They've already found that the software changed votes. How do I know that it didn't change votes in a million more places? How do I know that more dead people didn't vote? They found dead people that voted. How do I know that we do know that they had people registering and making ballots right on the spot at the counting places. Provisional ballots without any identification, with just a promise that they'd be going to the DMV soon. Okay, this is all wrong.
Well, no, it is all wrong. And, you know, a couple of the things that we need to be extremely aware of are the things that you're talking about. And that is the idea that in this particular election, we might have experienced a systemic voter fraud, and especially in the six swing states that I want to talk about in a little bit later. But I think one of many important points that you've raised is that how, as Americans, can we ever trust the system again? And there are so many levels of problems with, you know, President-elect Biden, if you believe that, and Vice President Kamala Harris. One of the things is, and I think we can have an entire conversation about this, is that, you know, Biden leaps forward. He's the president of the United States. Okay, let's stop counting all the ballots. Let's stop doing this. Let's stop talking. And now this guy has the temerity, and he's not the only one. All the people that are spokespeople for him and Democratic politicians that supported him. This is a time for unity. This is a time for unity. No, it's not a time for unity. It should be a time for unity, but we don't trust you and we won't follow you because we don't follow frauds and cheaters. And so Vice President Biden, who is, you know, may become our next 46th president of the United States, you've got a lot of work to do. And I think personally, based on your past background over the 47 years and the way you came across in this election, so non-transparent, living in your basement, everybody covering for you, you don't have it in you to unify the United States of America. I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen. So me personally, I'm pretty pessimistic.
Well, I can tell you that, was it 70 million people voted for President Trump?
Right. A little over 70 million.
Those people will not follow Joe Biden. And I'm with you. I won't follow a man who has lined his pockets throughout his 47 years and done so under the table in every which way and with our enemies. And in fact, his first call on his first day is to go back and chum up with those same enemies. That is not going to sit well with a lot of Americans. And Kamala Harris, I cannot follow a woman who sleeps her way to the top and thinks it's funny and thinks that that's just politics. I worked really hard to build my career without sleeping with people along the way to get me where I needed to be.
Except for me.
I'm
no, truth
I'm,
be told.
I'm looking at your face. I didn't say I didn't sleep with people. I said to
okay.
get me where
well,
I wanted to go.
Do you
want to
get into this on national radio? Is this where you're going here?
I'm just saying that I don't respect a woman who does that. I just don't. And everybody has their own, you know, red lines in the sand, and that's one of mine. And I don't respect her, and I don't trust her, and I did not like the way that she worked in California as the district attorney or attorney general or whatever the heck she was.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, because, you know, I was in my career as a detective when she, in the San Francisco Bay Area, when she was the San Francisco district attorney. And those of us in law enforcement did not like her at all. She was not a person who resonated with law enforcement, nor did she support law enforcement in the San Francisco Bay Area. When she became the attorney general, it only got worse. Okay, so she's got a history. And I'm telling you what, that chicken's going to come home to roost, because, you know, she's a huge Black Lives Matter supporter. She actually contributed money to the fund to bail violent protesters out of jail against law enforcement. Some of those people had hurt law enforcement officers.
And that's who we want for our vice
right.
president of the United States.
And that's
States.
What we've done. But, you know, Linda, don't forget for a minute that, and I wrote about this in my Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter book in the War on Police, that the Reverend Al Sharpton, who is a Black racist, a cop hater, and a person who's very divisive, he visited the White House 63 times during the Obama administration. I see the same type of thing happening there. I see Black Lives Matter living in the White House.
Well, and you know who's pulling the strings is the guy that lives two blocks from the White House in his offices. His organization is Obama.
So oh, absolutely.
Obama is pulling the strings behind the scenes, just like your guy in...
just like George Soros.
No, just like the guy in the movie, the Judy Garland movie, The Wizard of Oz.
don't worry about what's behind the screen.
That's exactly what it is, and it's the same thing. I'm saddened that as many people voted for Joe Biden as did. I'm saddened that they're dancing in the streets. They're not only dancing in the streets, they're rioting in the streets. They're looting and breaking things again. They're shooting police officers again. This is the kind of guy that we want to lead our country.
Well, you know, this thing's not going away. And Joe Biden is so naive because just the other day, Antifa was part of a riot in downtown Portland. You know, people are calling it a celebration. It, in fact, became a riot and was declared a riot. And they completely vandalized the Democratic Party headquarters building in downtown Portland, Oregon. And if you look, and they posted the pictures all over the place, but if you look at what they spray painted on the walls, it was basically F Biden, F all presidents, we don't need presidents, with the anarchy symbol. So Joe has repeatedly said that Antifa doesn't really exist, it's just an idea. No, Joe, it's far more than an idea. It's a movement, and many of us believe it's an organized movement. But it is anti-democratic, it's anarchistic, and in fact, it's a fascist movement. So how ironic is that, where they call themselves the anti-fascists, but they are in fact the real fascists?
Yeah, I don't think that he's going to be the one to support law enforcement to be putting these kinds of things down. If it turns out that Joe Biden ends up being the president, I think our country is in big trouble. And I absolutely believe in my heart that the election was stolen by fraudulent votes and fraudulent mail-ins. If they were to go back and actually be able to, and I don't think that they'll be able to pull every vote that came in past the time it should have, to pull every vote written by a dead person. In fact, some votes came in from people that were dead but registered to vote and then voted.
No, you're exactly right. But you know what? And in that line that we're talking about, let's talk about the fact that right now as we speak, a mere 267,000 votes in six swing states separate Joe Biden from President Trump. And those states, again, are Arizona and Georgia and Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin and Nevada. So just 267,000 votes. And there was something that came out recently, a news story on the night of the election, and I believe it was in Michigan, correct me if I'm wrong, but they suddenly found 138,000 votes, of which 100% had voted for Joe Biden.
And that's not the only place that
exactly.
That happened.
And are you going to tell me that you're not suspicious of that? No. 100%, not 98%, no. Not 75 or 80%. 100%, and they show up the night of the election, late night of the election. Where did those votes come from?
Well, and they were blocking people from viewing. And, you know, I listen to the pundits on the mainstream media, and they're saying, oh, that's none of that's true. There's no evidence whatsoever. There is evidence. I have a friend whose friend was one of those people that was kicked out of
one of the poll watchers.
Yes,
one of the poll watchers
in Michigan, and was kicked out, and the windows were taped up with cardboard so that they could not see. And when I'm not even sure they ever got to go back in, but when they were kicked out, Trump was leading. When a little bit later, Trump all of a sudden was not leading. There's never been an election in our lifetime, and this was predicted before the election that Trump would be winning and it would suddenly turn around, and that's exactly what happened. The way this election happened, I think, is a one in a million chance of a way of an election coming out where the president is leading in all these states. And all of a sudden, when they shut things down, they find votes, and all of a sudden he's losing by just enough to lose by, and not just him, but you had John James, who was handily winning in Michigan, and all of a sudden he loses by just a few votes. This is just too wrong to me. And there's nothing that will resolve this in my mind short of actually looking at every single solitary vote. But if you're going to commit fraud, you're going to do it in a way that it's hard to catch. So, you know, if somebody's standing there, as has been said by people in the postal system, that votes were being changed, and they have testified and signed off on this and certified that they saw this happen, that people changed votes, that they added votes, all kinds of things. How would you find those votes again?
Well, boy, that's a tall order, and I think the president only has 30 days.
Yes.
Okay, to find, you know, the what we call the foundation or the elements to get a lawsuit filed in district court, and then due to the exigent circumstances, bounce it up to the United States Supreme Court. But, I mean, I think I said this to you just the other night, how embarrassing is this for the United States on the world stage? I mean, how darn embarrassing, where we are supposed to be the center of democracy, the center of freedom, and we end up looking like Russia or China or North Korea, some third world country, you know, or Venezuela, where the votes are getting controlled. And then, you know, also, I heard something that Mark Zuckerberg, using Facebook, I think he donated about $400 million in extra Facebook ads, and strictly in the Democratic areas. Okay, just, I mean, pushing ads to Democrats, get out, vote, make sure you grab somebody else when you go register to vote and do all of this. Big tech in line with the complicit mainstream media, you know, the CNNs, the MSNBCs, the NBCs, I mean, you name it, all against this one president of the United States. It's absolutely disgraceful. We will never, under circumstances like this, be a united nation again. We will not be the United States. It's like the article that I wrote a couple of months ago. We are the disunited states. And I'm not so sure they can fix it.
I'm not so sure either. Let's get a cup of coffee, and I have more to say.
My fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. Well, AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. Join us. We're in this together, and we consider you part of our family in our crusade to share the news, commentary, and agenda that can lead America back again. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DRRONMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice. Enjoying a little bit of Bailey's in the coffee tonight, so thanks very much. You know, you've been doing a little bit of research during the last couple of days on this software that General McInerney who used to be third in command of the United States Air Force, I mean the entire Air Force, was talking about, and he worked on a project, and it was two important bits of software, and one is called Scorecard and the other one is called Hammer. What did you find out about that?
Well, I don't claim to understand it too well yet. There's a lot more research to do. So to put in a nutshell that any just American can understand, as I understand, it was software that was invented to basically spy on our enemies and to sort of predict if they were going to attack us in some way. And that under the Obama administration, it was kind of reused in order to manipulate elections. As Stalin said, it's not about who's running, it's about who's counting. And that was kind of Obama's thing. So General McInerney says that this has been used several times in elections.
Romney and
Obama.
Obama.
That
okay.
were running
yeah.
against
what,
each
2012?
Other.
2012?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was used in 2016. And they had some problems with it that McInerney says that he can't discuss right now. Well, actually, they used it in the primaries with Biden and Bernie to make sure that Biden won.
So are you saying that it's predictive software? Is that what it does?
Here's what I understand. The software, what it does is it's watching what's happening. It is predictive software, yes. And it's watching what's happening in the vote. And they set parameters. So it says if Trump's vote gets too high, then the machine needs to start changing the votes to Biden. And that, in fact, did happen, and they know that it happened, and nobody's denying that it happened. Now, how widespread it was, we don't know, but the theory is, according to the general, that they stole the election by changing the votes by using the software that was set. That, and this is exactly what happened that night of the election that I'm watching. And Trump is leading everywhere. And all of a sudden, all the numbers change. It makes perfect sense. And you saw it change. You saw it change on the tickers on the TV.
Well, so let me ask you, you may not even be able to answer the question, but you're the only one of the couple here that has been doing the research. How did they integrate it into the voting machines?
I have no idea how they did that.
Because let me just ask this, because I don't know the answers. Don't they have various companies with voting machines all over the United States, and they're all different?
Well, they are all different, but not necessarily. There are a lot of people who used a certain one and ones that they had the problems with, but I don't know enough about it to know the answer to that. I still have my own beliefs that when they started touting mail-in voting, they saw it as the perfect opportunity to steal the election. And honestly, the Democrats are smarter than the Republicans in that way. They're much more devious and they're much more willing to do illegal things than Republicans are. So in having the mail-in ballots, there's so many fraudulent things you could do. I mean, people were carrying it. There was vote harvesting. There was the stealing of votes. There was, like I said, dead people. There was all kinds of things happening. Do you not think that that could account for 276,000 votes in six states?
267
in yeah. six states. It's just too weird that you can't say that nothing happened. Now, I understand the Democrats they just want to push it under the rug and say nothing to see here, but there is something to see. And until we're satisfied that we have a legal president, I think we're going to have big problems in this country.
Well, and people need to remember that not a single state so far has certified the results of the election. So
that's true. But you also look at what happened. The same thing happened with the Senate races, where Republicans were leading.
I saw that.
Yes. And then all of a sudden the vote changed. Because they want the Senate and they want to do everything that they want to do, which will fundamentally change the country. They will do things like have the state of Washington, D.C. be a state, have Puerto Rico be a state. They will do things to make sure that Republicans can never win another election. And that's what is so scary. And they have said, you know, where Biden was kind of trying to intimate to everybody before the election that he was going to be, you know, somewhat middle of the road. Well, now he's coming out totally progressive. It's like, haha, you voted for me and now I'm going to do this. And that's exactly where they're going. And I'm surprised that Biden is going down that road, to be honest.
Are you really surprised?
No, he's easily manipulated.
He says he's a moderate. He says it's
he's
a centrist.
He's not a moderate.
No, he's not. He's not. And so here are, as it's been discussed through the media, here are four things that Joe Biden says he's going to do on day one when he becomes president of the United States. And I know you're going to be surprised, but it's to overturn four important things that President Trump did with executive orders when he made national, international policy. So the first thing he's going to do is he's going to reintegrate the United States of America into the Paris Climate Accord. Right?
Well, let's talk about that.
Well, the Paris Climate Accord, you know, landmark, you know, treaty of sorts between, you know, developing nations and nations that are first world nations like the United States. And what they're pledging to do is cutting emissions down across the board to reduce the overall climate temperature of the world by 2 degrees Celsius.
And they're foolish enough to think that we as people control that, instead of that it is just the history of the earth over the millions of years it's been around that it gets hotter and colder.
And it does that by itself.
Remember the Ice Age?
Right.
Well, maybe you don't. Yeah. And there have been very, very hot times. The earth rotates on its axis and it rotates around the other way. So it rotates both ways.
I'm glad I'm working with an astrophysicist here.
I know it. So it rotates both ways. Yeah. It would have to get warmer in some areas over time as the earth rotates. So, you know, get over it. This, we're not affecting it. And we are pouring billions of dollars into this and we are getting ripped off. And guess whose pockets are getting lined?
Oh, no, I know whose pockets are getting lined. But, you know, let me continue with a couple of things about the Paris Climate Accord. So, you know, the United States, would you agree, of the largest countries in the world, I mean, the most powerful economic countries in the world, United States probably being the number one, maybe China the number two, but the United States, of those major nations, really has the cleanest climate.
Yes.
Okay. So what Joe's going to do, and Kamala Harris, who's bought into the total new,
the Green New Deal.
The Green New Deal. They are going to cut hydrocarbon emissions by what? Getting rid of fossil fuels. And so that means coal, means oil, and also they want to get rid of fracking. And of course, you know, we went backwards and forwards. Joe flip-flopping every single day when he was in Pennsylvania. Out of Pennsylvania, you know, I'm going to kill fracking. Gets back in Pennsylvania, I'm not going to kill fracking. But what we're going to do regardless is they're going to cut back on all of the burning of fossil fuels. And they're going to try to do the, you know, wind and the solar energy.
That's
which
ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and it's going to be some real problems.
And then you go to countries like India, where you can barely breathe.
And China, where you can barely breathe.
And that doesn't matter. So we're the problem? I don't think so. Well, because what he's going to do is he's going to regulate businesses even more, and they are going to leave our country.
No, and the other thing that we're going to do, which President Trump was totally against, and I'm against, and that is give tens of billions of dollars away to developing countries so that they can cut down on their hydrocarbon emissions and their small.
None of that money ever goes to those projects,
Thank
Ron.
You for
it
saying
never
that.
Makes
you're
it anywhere.
Right.
It makes it in people's pockets.
No, you're absolutely
including
right.
Including Hunter Biden's.
Right. And that's where we that's where we had problems, you know, when President Trump was smart enough to pull us out of the Paris Climate Accord. Okay, the next thing is we
You're
are
going to make me even angrier, aren't
well,
you?
Oh, no, I haven't begun to make you angry yet. Okay. So the next thing we're going to do, Biden's going to do, is he's going to rejoin the World Health Organization. And so don't forget, the World Health Organization is just about as corrupt as it could possibly
and
be.
And it's run by China, basically.
Exactly. And you know,
who gave us the gift of COVID.
Well, and it's so interesting, and I guess most people don't follow this, but the United States of America, when we were members of the World Health Organization, we would annually give them $435 million.
Million or billion?
No, million.
Okay.
Okay. China would give them 34 to 36 million, and they took China and they put them up at the same level as the United States of America, okay? Oh, my God.
The World Health Organization
politicized the pandemic.
They should shame China. They should not allow them to be part of it. We shouldn't be part of it because it's a joke, and it's a hole that the United States pours money in.
Right.
And we need to do exactly what President Trump was trying to do and be America first. Joe's going back to this whole globalist baloney that got us in so much trouble in the first place.
No, you're exactly right.
Do you think those people care about Americans?
No, I don't think they do. I mean, all countries, first of all, and I don't have a problem with it, all countries care about their welfare first.
As they should.
And like I said, I have no problems
except
with it.
Except for us.
But you know, we're the leaders of the free world, and we get sucked into a lot of stuff that we have no business getting sucked into. And I'm talking about corrupt organizations such as, you know, the World Health Organization. Anyway, he's also going to repeal President Trump's executive order on deferred action for childhood arrivals, DACA. Okay, the acronym DACA. So we have what? Is there 18 million Americans that are part of the DACA children?
Something like
okay?
that.
Okay, and for our friends and listeners that don't remember what DACA people are, these are the children where the parents brought them into the United States illegally, okay? Those children, not having kids in the United States, but having kids in their own countries, then coming across the United States and either keeping them here or abandoning them here. And that's what we see right now. As a matter of fact, I think Biden was talking about it the other day, you know, before the election, and he was saying, well, you know, there's 584 children that are separated from their families. Yeah, and guess what, Joe? The families aren't coming back to claim the kids. What do you think is going on wrong about that? They could come back and pick up their kids. Oh, my lovely boy, my lovely daughter. But they're not doing that. They kept them abandoned in the United States because they want to keep them there as citizens, and they can go live with relatives or friends or something else. Okay, so all those however million of DACA kids are going to be granted citizenship. All right. And we are just a stone's
That'll
throw.
That'll have to go to the Supreme Court, I'm sure.
I'm sure it will. But listen.
And there's a case coming before the Supreme Court on DACA.
Okay. Well, I haven't followed it, but maybe I should. But listen, one of my points here is he's already said that he's going to stop building the wall. He has no plans to tear it down, but he's going to stop building the wall, which has been the single most successful tool that we have, you know, used to prevent the spread of more tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of illegal aliens into this country, drugs into this country, weapons into this country, sex trafficking, child trafficking. It has been pretty darn successful, and he's going to end that.
He's going to end it because the more illegals they can get in the country and the more that they can turn them into citizens that can vote, the more they feel that the Democrats will never lose an election. That's what this is all about.
And it gets worse because I firmly believe that he is going to create a pathway for citizenship for every illegal person.
Oh, he already said he was.
In the United States.
Yes, he already said he was.
They say there's like 11. I think there's closer to 22 or 24 million. I think it's severely underdocumented. But that's going to go. And let's see. And the last thing he's going to do is repeal President Trump's ban on having people from terrorist Muslim countries.
Yes.
Not Muslims, but people from terrorist Muslim countries allowed into the United States. Okay, remember the vetting process and the problems with the vetting process. Those our friends and listeners may have forgotten back in, I think, 2014, 2015. I remember the day was December 2nd when we had the San Bernardino terrorist incident, killed all those American citizens. We had an American Muslim who was radicalized by his wife, who was here on a visa, who was a ISIS terrorist, and she radicalized her husband, and during a Christmas party at the Inland Center in San Bernardino, California, they slaughtered, I don't know, 14, 20 people. Okay, and then they were killed by police in a subsequent gunfire.
They were letting the families of people in as well. And I forget what the name of that is. Yeah, I forget too. But that is what it has created the problems. And it's the same thing that happened with the brothers that were killing people in, I think it was New York.
Boston. Boston Marathon bombers.
No, not just those guys. There were some other guys too. Anyway.
Doesn't matter.
How does anybody who voted for Biden feel like these are good things for the country? Any one of them. They're horrible for the country. How do people even think when they vote? I'm just so frustrated. And at this point in time, Ron, I would be happy to split America apart and have the people that voted for Trump in one part of America and the other people in the other part, because I don't see we're ever going to get back together again.
No, I don't think that's going to be the case. And I can guarantee you, we have a Senate race in Georgia coming up. And there's been talk that both sides, Republicans and Democrats, are probably going to spend $500 million, between $400 million and $500 million, fighting it out, because apparently this Georgia Senate seat is the key Senate seat that takes us into a socialist nation.
Yes.
For the rest of our lives.
Yes.
And or allows us, the Republicans, to create a Senate firewall.
Yes.
Against the Democrats flipping this country upside down.
My problem is when in Georgia there was so much cheating and fraud in the vote, how do we be able to trust the vote in Georgia?
Well, you know, just briefly, and we've talked about this, do you not agree that doing the mail-in voting was a horrible decision?
Absolutely.
Because the vast majority of the problems that we're experiencing right now are all as a result of these mail-in votes. And I'm not referring to the absentee ballots, all right, which are vetted. We're talking about these millions of mail-in votes. And that's why the Democrats wanted the mail-in voting system. And President Trump and Republicans and common sense conservatives like ourselves were saying, for God's sakes, don't do this. This really could, the mail-in vote could bring about the end of the freest nation on earth. How about our last cup of coffee?
Just give me Bailey's.
What if a new treatment backed by 17,000 scientific articles was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Attorney Sidney Powell has been on TV quite a bit talking about the election, and she is a former prosecutor, and she is the attorney for General Flynn, and she is also now on the Trump team. She says that at a minimum, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Georgia should be called for Trump. She says that there is that much fraud and that they're going to be able to prove it. I don't know, you know, what the case is. She's a pretty smart lady. I have a lot of respect for her. She's not one of these people that just talks out of both sides of her mouth. So I really do respect her. And it will be interesting to see, because out of the different attorneys that have been speaking, she's the one that impresses me as the most knowledgeable about the situation.
You know, that's interesting. And it just goes hand in hand with the story that's just out today, that Attorney General William Barr has authorized an investigation into what he's determined to be substantial allegations of voter irregularities. So, and I'm not saying, you know, he says that specifically. He has authorized it because there are what he believes a substantial number of complaints about voter irregularity. I think that clears that up a little bit. So certainly, and by the way, this is a little bit out of the ordinary for the Department of Justice, because normally, Lynn, they don't get involved until after an election. So now they're
after it's certified. Yeah.
So now, and I believe this might be the first time this has ever been done. So, and I think we came pretty close during the Hanging Chad problems in Florida between Bush and Gore about 20 years ago, I think. So, you know, that's going to be very, very interesting. Now, you know, Barr says, and I really respect William Barr, and he says that, you know, voter fraud, you know, should be handled with great care. And I absolutely agree. I think we need to look at this, like I've said, on any other type of investigation, when emotions are high, we want to have a forensic approach and not an emotional response to these things. And I really am. I can be as angry as I can possibly be about the way this election turned out. But with me, it's all about what is the truth, okay? Who truthfully voted? We believe, you and I believe, that just like everybody else we hear, that's just like us, every vote should be counted.
And should be re-looked at for legality, because the other people that are involved in this election are people that we respect a lot as Judicial Watch.
Correct.
And Judicial Watch has found already 1.8 million ghost voters. And what that is that in 29 states, more people voted than were registered to vote.
Correct. And, you know, just a plug for Judicial Watch. You and I are members of Judicial Watch. We donate money to it. Of all the independent, nonprofit, legal organizations in the United States that are investigative, Judicial Watch, in my book, as a forensic expert, you know, working in federal cases day and night, they are the most respected. They are the most forensic and fact finding. And I mean, I have the utmost respect for them.
I do too.
You know,
and I want to say this correctly, because what they found was that in 352 U.S. counties in 29 states, had 1.8 million more registered voters than eligible voting age citizens.
Yeah, and you know what? Staying on the subject of that, and then again, connecting Judicial Watch and their excellent investigations, and you and I, both former Calizuelans, we remember that just in Los Angeles County alone, through lawsuits that Judicial Watch filed against the various election centers, the one in Los Angeles County, they found an incredible 1.5 million bad votes. All right, so just think
about people that were getting ballots, that were voting, that were either dead or not eligible to vote.
And ghost voting, like you said, Linda.
And that's what these are, and this is what you get when you mail ballots to everybody. You get lots of illegal people voting. Don't forget, Ron, the DMV in California that sent ballots and things out, they sent ballots to people that were pre-filled in Democratic.
20 and just not a couple. All right, there were 20,000 votes in that news article that you and I read just a few months ago. All right, that's not a small mistake. And when they went to motor voter, right mm-hmm. in the state of California, with all the illegal aliens that we have in the state of California, I said, oh my God, we are going to be in such trouble. And what's happened now is really
borne out. We're in such trouble.
We're in such trouble.
And we had a lot of vote harvesting, which has not in the past been legal, which all of a sudden they let everybody, you know, they used COVID as a big red
cover.
Herring.
Absolutely. It was a cover. It was a canard.
It was. And now it's a conundrum. So
are you turning my words around on me?
So, you know, there's so many pieces to this, and you know, I'm not willing to give up the fight, and I'm not willing, because I believe in my heart, I believe that President Trump won the election, and I believe that he was cheated out of it. So I'm willing to wait as long as it takes to find the truth. I don't want to just wait a month if it takes more than a month. But from what I've heard, that if they said, say the Supreme Court ruled and said every state has to recount by hand all of their votes by hand and eliminate those that, you know, are dead people and so forth, they could do it within that month easily, they said. So that's what we need to do.
You know, this sort of, you know, mentioned the United States Supreme Court, and of course two of President Trump's most recent picks, which was Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett. So going back 20 years or so ago, I believe that those two Supreme Court judges at the time were attorneys, and I could be wrong, but I think they worked on the George Bush Al Gore thing when there was that controversy. And I was just kind of thinking, reminding myself of that just the other day. That's another reason that the Democrats fought so hard to kick them out of the nomination process.
Well, we're going to see where this goes. I think the future looks a little bit scary if Biden and Kamala are in there. And well, I don't know. I don't know where we're going to go from there if that ends up being the case. Well, there's also some consternation about Pfizer coming out, which everybody's thrilled with, and the stock market is particularly thrilled with, saying that their vaccine is 90% effective. I'm thrilled. I want to take the vaccine. And I want to go back to traveling.
You know, I understand it's going to be in what, two stages? You're going to take one and then you're going to take another one.
Okay.
Right. And like you said, it's been tested out to be in the third stage, which we're getting to the wire now, 90% effective. And I think we're going to start out with 50 million doses.
Okay.
Right. Well, so 25 million for the first dose, then 25 million again. Then we bring in another, you know, bunch of them. And Trump, you know, here's the sad thing about this, and I'm sure you realize this, Trump is not going to get credit for this.
No, okay? He does get credit for this. And, you know, the thing with Pfizer and why there's the consternation and the, you know, the bad feelings out there is because Pfizer knew that their vaccine was 90% effective back in October, but they didn't say it out loud to the electorate because they were busy donating lots and lots of money to the Democrats and to Biden.
You know, that is so sad because you take something which is coronavirus related and then you politicize
Absolutely.
It and you actually even weaponize it. And you weaponize it against the guy that granted you
all the money to research it.
Is that, you talk about biting the hand that feeds you.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I mean, the ethics involved in that are just beyond me. Can we not involve politics in every darn thing relating to this coronavirus?
I cannot imagine why Pfizer would do that to President Trump when President Trump put his trust in several companies, more than Pfizer, several companies, and gave them, you know, the order to find a vaccine, to do it quickly, and
Operation
Hurricane or something like that. It was Operation something.
Warp Speed,
yeah. Hurricane. Hurricanes call it Warp Speed, you know that? No. So anyway, he did that, and then, like you said, they bite the hand that feeds you. I don't understand that. And then they were donating all this money to Trump. Either way, I'm happy that the vaccine would be coming out. I don't understand people like Cuomo in New York criticizing it and saying that he's not going to take it and actually encouraging people not to take it. I don't understand that at all.
You know,
as though President Trump, what, he went in there and made the vaccine himself? Or
you know, you and I have had so many different conversations about, you know, 2020 and what a horrible year this has been.
Oh, it's a horrible year.
I mean, I just want to take it and flush it down a toilet like it never happened. To me, in all the years that I've been alive, I've been through some pretty, and you too, we're about the same age, been through some pretty tumultuous times. We've been through Vietnam and all of that stuff and the demonstrations and, of course, both being in law enforcement, you know, you and I have pretty much seen it all. But the thing that I find so depressing and frustrating, I think there's so many different words for it, so many adjectives for it, is that we seem to have politicized pretty much everything that we mm-hmm. do in society. I mean, can we not have a moment of respite where politics is not introduced into our culture? You know, we used to watch sports. We used to watch professional sports. You and I are big hockey fans. You and I are big baseball fans. And they politicized all of that. I used to watch professional football. I haven't watched professional football since Colin Kaepernick took a knee. I haven't watched professional baseball since they went sideways.
So I was talking to somebody just recently, and they said that the way to handle this is for us and everybody, the 70 million people, is to stop supporting the companies, the advertisers, the news medias, the
social media platforms,
the sports, things that don't resonate with our values. And we have continued to support them, but I am of the opinion that for myself, I need to not support them. And it's the only way that we can really voice our opinion. And what her example was, which I love, was if everybody pulled their kids out of school, Joe Biden just wouldn't know what to do with that, because the schools are teaching our kids the wrong things and they're indoctrinating them. Pull them out of school. Let's find some other way to educate our kids in a way that makes them Americans and not some people that hate America.
You know, I have used social media, as you know, for quite some time. And I mean, I have a Facebook presence. You have a Facebook presence. I have a Twitter account that I don't use. You have a Twitter account. You do use it.
I use it very, very occasionally.
My son talked me into having an Instagram account. I've never done one thing on that Instagram account. I don't even know
which is owned by Facebook also.
Okay, all right, but I don't even know what my name is on Instagram. Okay, so that's just to let you know. So here's my question. I am so sick of what's happening on social media platforms such as Facebook, or Google owns YouTube. And who owns Twitter? That's its own thing. Twitter is its own thing. But the way they censor us, and I've been in Facebook jail a couple of times, LinkedIn, which I use professionally, they dumped almost 8,000 of my followers, and I could never make it up again. I think I'm down to about 600 just because you have to reconnect with those people. But here's my question to you. I'm thinking about getting rid of Facebook. And what are your thoughts of that?
I totally agree. I've been thinking about that myself and just writing kind of my last note and saying, here's why I'm leaving Facebook. I can't respect what they did during this election. And I find it extremely concerning and Nazi-esque.
Oh, me
what
too.
They did.
Absolutely.
And I don't think America should put up with it. And they have far too much power.
Well, you know, the thing that I do is I use Facebook for two reasons. And I don't think I'm any different than any other person. I use Facebook to keep in contact with my friends and associates, okay? But mostly my friends that I worked with in my career and people you and I know. And the other thing I use it for is, you know, selling books that I write, because it's a social media platform and you know, I can hawk, you know, my Wade Justice Texas Ranger series or my Black Lives Matter book that's a bestseller and people love to buy that book. But I'm thinking about just leaving Facebook. And you haven't joined Parler, but I have. So I just want to let you know that. And when we're off the air, I'll tell you what my handle is. But anyway, how do you feel about that? Are you going to leave Facebook and come over to Parler?
I absolutely think so. And I think that everybody has to make the decision as to what they gain by having Facebook and what they lose by having Facebook. And I've decided that I lose more than I gain, and it's not worth it to me. So, hey, I want to just say something about America Out Loud real quick. You can join us every night on America Out Loud at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on America Out Loud, Monday through Friday. And we also have a new show on America Out Loud, which I would like to give a little plug to, which is Ladies of Liberty Sound Off, which plays every day, Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time as well.
And congratulations on the new show, Linda. And you're getting a production credit for putting that show on. And I've listened to two or three of the shows now. And the quality of the show and the quality of the women and the topics are just fantastic.
Well, we're having a lot of fun, and we hope to bring some good messages to women in America.